Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, good Monday to each and every one of you, wherever you might be, up and down the Stand in the Gap Today radio network. What a delight it is to be able to have you with us today on this Monday, the 12th of October, 2015. We want to thank you so very, very much for the pleasure of your company, wherever you might be. And along with Samuel Rohr and David Kistler, I'm Gary Dahl, and we are delighted to have you with us. Sam, did you have a good weekend, sir?
Gary, I did indeed. It was a beautiful weekend here in Pennsylvania, weather-wise, a beautiful autumn Saturday and Sunday. And, of course, it was good being with at church services yesterday. I was able to hear Dr. Jimmy DeYoung, who we've had on this program every other Wednesday, and heard him speak at the Valley Forge, which we referenced on this program last week, and he did a very good job in packed out services morning and evening. So, yeah, it was a good weekend for me.
Good. David, how about you, sir?
Yes, Gary, outstanding weekend. I'm in Daniels, West Virginia, which is near Beckley, West Virginia, and had a great start to our 4 days of meetings here at a church here locally. So, yes, great weekend.
Well, that's good. We had a great weekend as well. And, of course, during the Sunday morning service, I've been preaching on a series entitled Preparing for the End of the Age. And really, it's a series of messages on the build up to the Battle of Gog and Magog. They're from Ezekiel 38 and 39. I really haven't gotten into those two chapters yet because of so many things taking place in the world around us that I'm trying to relate. But and then last night we started a week of meetings, revival meetings. Dave, you know who we have with us this week is John Hodge. You know John, don't you?
I do. I know John well. In fact, he was on my heart over the weekend, but I did not know you had him there at the church. That's great.
And we had a good meeting last night, and looking forward to another couple of days right on through to Wednesday night. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are delighted to have you with us today, and as always, there are so many things going on. In the second and the third segment today, we're going to be having with us Peggy Nienaber, who, of course, is with the Faith in Action in the Nation's Capital. Dave and I have known her for a good number of years, and she probably is one of the most active people on Capitol Hill in many, many ways. So she will be with us today, as I said, during the second and the third segment, and we're looking forward to having her with us. Fellas, I don't know exactly where to start. There's so many things. We could talk about Bo Bergdahl and what's going on there. It's absolutely crazy, 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 Sam, that you know, there are those who are saying that he should have a very, very light sentence, maybe even no sentence whatsoever. The man deserted his country. He deserted his brothers. He is responsible for a number of people being killed. Why in the world would they come along and say no sentence?
Gary, it is to me, I put it in the same context as most of many things that we're talking about, is that up is down, down is up, right is wrong, and wrong is right. And these are the kinds of things that make no sense under any legitimate evaluation, certainly not under law and justice as we have known it to be, certainly not under the rules of engagement and the military. It's not right under any scenario other than in somebody's minds that right is whatever consists of their own mind. This is a very, very dangerous thing. It's not the first type of thing, but in the military, Gary, when you start to persecute chaplains, I suppose it's not a long step to go ahead and say, well, then let the guilty off the hook. This is a major issue that ought to be a matter of major attention across the country. I'm glad you brought it up.
Well, if he does get off the hook, Dave, what does that mean to other circumstances like that? I mean, you know, this guy, from all we can figure out, from all that we can understand, deserted his position. He deserted our country. He turned his back upon his people. And, you know, so to say that there's going to be a very light sentence or virtually no sentence at all, you know, how in the world is that going to work out for other happenings in the future? I mean, it's going to set a very, very bad precedence, I would think.
Well, Gary, the precedent it's setting is the Islamic-friendly nature of this decision. You know, this is all set against the backdrop of him being held in captivity, being released in exchange for five high-level Taliban detainees, two or three of whom have tried to go back to the fight. And then there was that disaster of a press conference in the Rose Garden where Bergdahl's parents were there and Bergdahl's dad, Robert Bergdahl, made the statement in Arabic, which was a praise to Allah. He's dressed there with the Arabic beard or the Muslim beard and so on. So, Gary, the only thing that makes sense about any of this is the fact that we have a very Muslim-friendly administration and there has been evidently intense pressure that's been applied by the White House for this Army Colonel Mark Visker to recommend no punitive punishment for Bergdahl. To be honest with you guys, and I don't want this to sound harsh, but I agree with Donald Trump. Under any other circumstance, if this were any other situation other than right now, a guy who had done something like this would be facing execution for being a traitor.
Absolutely correct. And, you know, I just thinking, you brought up our president and his Muslim-friendly attitude. Sam, if I recall, in one of his books, he made the statement that when the wind blows, he would stand with the Muslims. Do you remember that?
Gary, maybe not necessarily the one you're talking about, but I certainly remember many other comments that would indicate clear, obviously, identification. So I think what Dave has said is correct, because the reason that you don't have justice employed relative to what our own laws say and what our Constitution is saying, we have seen, yes, certainly come down on that side of, Islamic-friendly evaluations, and that is a part of the whole issue we're dealing with in the Middle East and here in this country. So it's here we go. We're circling back again.
So, you know, you wonder, Dave, if there's more than meets the eye to what's going on with this Bergdahl situation.
Well, Gary, you do. I mean, you can't come to any other conclusion other than to scratch your head and ask the question, what in the world is behind this? And again, the only thing that makes any kind of sense at all is when you factor in the Islamic nature of all of this. The fact that that press conference was hastily held in the Rose Garden, here comes Bergdahl's parents, the Islamic statement, the media basically, by the way, ignored all of that. And those who were in the know and understood what Robert Bergdahl said, of course, picked up on it immediately and were deeply troubled and concerned by it. But, gentlemen, other than that Islamic component to all of this, nothing makes any kind of sense. But when you put that into the equation, it all begins to come very, very clear.
Well, it does. And ladies and gentlemen, we'll continue to watch this for you, because we believe that it's a very, very significant issue as it relates to justice, not only in America, but in America's military. When we come back, we're going to be having with us Peggy Niedaber, who currently serves as the Chief of Program and Operations Manager for the Faith in Action in the nation's capital, overseeing all of Capitol Hill. She may not agree with that, but that's my comment anyway. You won't want to miss the next two segments, so stay tuned. We will be back with more of Stand in the Gap today, right after these messages.
I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. If you're a parent or grandparent and want to help bring spiritual renewal to America, here's where you should start, with your children and grandchildren. Our children need a godly education, one that mirrors the Christian values embraced by our founders and taught in the home by many of you. BJU Press, the Christian homeschool curriculum leader, makes homeschooling fun and exciting. Exceeding all national standards, BJU Press textbooks are accurate, dependable, and well-researched. They're designed to promote excellence for every child and are adaptable to different learning styles and challenges. Carefully integrating a true biblical worldview throughout BJU Press textbooks set the standard for academic instruction. That's why I so strongly endorse BJU Press textbooks and encourage their use by homeschoolers and Christian schools alike. If you're a parent and want to find out more, visit BJU Press online at bjupresshomeschool.com or by calling 800-845-5731. That's bjupresshomeschool.com.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
October 12, 1492, 2 hours after midnight, Columbus sighted land. He named the first island San Salvador, meaning Holy Savior. After meeting the natives, Columbus wrote, "So that they might be well disposed toward us, for I knew that they were a people to be converted to our holy faith rather by love than by force, I gave to some red caps and to others glass beads. They became so entirely our friends that it was a wonder to see. I believed that they would easily be made Christians, for it seemed to me they had no religion of their own."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Can you help me with this new Common Core assignment? I'm supposed to read all about global warming and how we're polluting the air just by breathing. I held my breath 10 times today because I don't want to hurt those poor polar bears.
Oh, honey, don't you worry. There are 4 times as many polar bears now than when I was a kid. You can breathe safely because you're not polluting anything. That's just another government scheme cooked up to tax and control people.
But it's right here in my Common Core book, Grandma. I'll get a bad grade if I say that. What shall I do?
Get Common Core out of your state. If you would make this your one and only project, you could change the country. But we can only make this change if we're willing to stand together. Learn more about federal Common Core and Pennsylvania Core standards and call your representatives today. Ask them to stop the national takeover of education. Go to PARestoringEducation.org or call Richard at 484-678-2236. This message brought to you by Pennsylvanians Restoring Education.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to Stand in the Gap today. And I encourage you to go to our Stand in the Gap Radio website, which is www.standinthegapradio.com. And there you can learn more about this program and 2 other programs produced by the American Pastors Network. And you can even correspond with us at that particular site. Also, if you happen to be away from your radio, that is, you're out of town and you do not you're not located in an area where you can pick up the radio signal, why, you can find it right there is a link to our anchor station, WFYL, in the Philadelphia area, and you'll be able to listen to us. Tomorrow, the Lord willing, I will not be on the program. You know, Dave's been on assignment. Sam's been on assignment. I'm going on an assignment tomorrow, fellas, and I will be opening the Pennsylvania State Senate in prayer. Sam, you and I are Pennsylvanians. I think I'm going to have a prayer vigil on a budget. What do you think about that? You think that'd be a good way to start? Maybe if I could pray for about 3 hours?
Well, Gary, you could pray about a lot of things when you're there, you know. This legislature's talking about getting into gambling again. They're talking a number of things in order to address their fiscal problems. So, Gary, you need to pray for wisdom, which I know you will, and hopefully you can encourage the good guys up there who are trying to do a good job. They need the help of pastors, and we try to encourage that across the country.
Well, yeah, and I asked my people today. I send out a letter to my congregation called my study, FMS, and I said, pray that I will have wisdom, because in prayer, you're not only talking to God, but you're also there, I think, in what you say to encourage those who listen. So
yep,
we'll be praying for that. Well, we are delighted today to have with us Peggy Nienaber with us. I said at the very beginning, or at the end of the last segment, that she serves as Chief of Program and Operations Manager for Faith in Action in the nation's capital. I said she oversees everything taking place on Capitol Hill. She might not agree to that, but I'm telling you what, she is one of the most active people, active ladies, for the most consecutive period of time that I know down on Capitol Hill. She does serve as the president of the Capitol Hill Executive Club. She has a lot of alliances on Capitol Hill. She's been actively involved with pro-life, pro-family, and religious freedom issues for over 25 years, working formerly as a special assistant to Art Linklater and Pat Boone, promoting senior issues. She's involved in grassroots efforts that lead to the confirmation, or that led to the confirmation, of two United States Supreme Court justices and the election of many members of Congress and the passing of many bills in Congress. Peggy was an NGO liaison for the United Nations in New York and participated in the UN Commission on the Status of Women, World Congress of Families in Poland, and was involved in changing opinions and the resolutions passed by the United Nations. Peggy has appeared on numerous radio talk shows, national television programs with Wolf Blitzer, with CNN, Bill O'Reilly, Fox and Friends with Steve Doocy, and she also co-produced the Fox and Friends True Meaning of Christmas, Christmas Eve special, for 3 years. She is married and lives in Lorton, Virginia. She has two children, three stepchildren, nine grandchildren. She's not old enough to have any grandchildren, I don't think, but she has them nevertheless. She's been on with Bill O'Reilly, but boy, are we going to give her something being on with us today. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Stand in the Gap today, Peggy Nienaber. Peggy, welcome aboard.
Well, thank you very much. That was quite the deal. You're scoring points there.
We're going to have to extend the program because you do so much. You see, it takes so much to get out the information about who you are.
Well, you know, when you ask for blessings, that's one of the things God gives me, I guess, is that energy to keep on going in one direction and the other. So,
What do you do in your free time?
My grandkids are my family is my free time.
That's my
me time is my family.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, Peggy is a very active young lady there on Capitol Hill, and we do have a lot that we want to talk with her about. And I'm going to begin the questioning here, and then we'll go to Dave and Sam. But Peggy, with all the negative that occupies so much of the news, can you share with us what you see to be some of the good, encouraging things that's taking place on Capitol Hill today?
Sure. Well, when we say all the negative on Capitol Hill, the only thing that you're going to hear is the negative, because that tends to be what drives media. It also is what drives any of us to make that spark that makes us, you know, that we sit on the couch, but that spark that makes us get up off the couch is sometimes what, whether it angers you or disappoints you or whatever, you're never going to hear too much of the positive stuff. You never hear on the media. Well, today we're going to share all positive stuff for the next hour and a half on our Fox, you know, news show. It's just, that's just the way it happens. That's what makes this world run. But on Capitol Hill, even though you may think you've elected the wrong person, or what happened to that justice that we thought was a Catholic or, you know, an evangelical, we just don't see the behind the scenes. And that's kind of what we see on Capitol Hill. And there are a lot of things. I can give you a couple of just really some really big things that somebody's going to say, well, I didn't know that happened. There used to be church inside the Capitol. When I say inside the Capitol, I'm talking about what we call the belly of the Capitol, way in the very bottom of the Capitol. And this small, secluded room used to be church service every single Sunday. And since that went away, long time, things changed, and that went away. And then there were churches on Capitol Hill, and people attended right away there. But there is a current church service every Wednesday night that Faith and Action, we helped initiate over a year ago, every Wednesday night. Now, whether it's one member of Congress, whether it's 25 members of Congress, it still hurts those members, and I'm talking Senate and House.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're having some kind of trouble here with Peggy breaking up. I do not know what that is. Peggy, I don't know if you realize that or not, but you're breaking up.
I did not. Maybe I will change positions. That will help. How about that?
Well, let me ask you, are you on a landline?
I am not on a landline. I don't have a landline, though.
Oh, okay. Well, then you are where you are. So go right ahead. Continue then.
Okay. So did you hear everything that I had actually said at that
Yes,
point?
I've been able to hear. We've been able to hear mainly what you're saying, but you are breaking up. So go ahead. We'll put the pieces together for you.
Okay. Let me step out here and see if you can hear me much better, which will help. Probably.
Okay.
Is that better?
And whatever. All right. Sounds good there. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, a lot of people. What I was saying about the church services on Wednesday evenings, a lot of people think, well, okay, so church services, things are still going south. But every Monday night, the prayer caucus, the Congressional Prayer Caucus, actually meets every Monday night for prayer. The members of Congress pray for whatever is going to be voted on that week. They pray about, well, confusion on the Hill, things that are not going properly in the right direction. So that's another thing that happens right there. Our nativity.
Peggy, I don't mean to interrupt here, but there's two things coming up on the Hill very, very soon. One of them in December, and then another one coming up in May that Faith in Action and you are very intimately involved in. Both of those have, of course, been something that I have been involved in, our ministries have been involved in, and of course I'm speaking of the live nativity there yes. on Capitol Hill, and then the National Bible Reading Marathon. Peggy, I would love for you to share just a little bit quickly about the history of those two incredible opportunities, and share, if you would, before we go to the break at the bottom of the hour, if there's someone listening that would like to be a participant in either one of those two events, how they might go
sure.
about doing it.
Okay. The Bible Marathon is always the week, the Sunday through Thursday prior to the National Day of Prayer. The National Day of Prayer is always the first Thursday in May. This year it will be May the 5th, and, or 2016 actually, will be May the 5th. So the Bible Marathon will be that Sunday evening, May the 1st, 2016, up until May the 5th. We do ask people to read the Bible. It is 24 hours a day from 7 a.m. in the morning to whether it's 3 a.m. in the morning or during the regular time during the day. We ask for people to contact us. You can actually contact our office at 202-546-8329. I will give you my email at the end of the segment. But you can contact us if you're interested in reading. We're looking for groups. We're looking for church groups to sponsor an hour, 2 hours or so. We've done that for over 25 years on the West Terrace of the U.S. Capitol, right where your presidents are inaugurated. The Nativity is coming up sooner than that. That comes up in December, December the 2nd in Washington, D.C., the morning of December the 2nd. We have a live Nativity with people portraying the Holy Family and extended, and we do need help for that as well.
And I think that as we get just a little bit closer to that, Peggy, we may be able to be talking more with you about that, because I think that both of those events are great events, and we're thankful that you are very, very key and very much involved with those. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a break, but when we come back, we will continue our discussion with Peggy Nienaber of the Faith in Action in the nation's capital. We'll be talking more about what's taking place down there and why you should be informed about what's taking place down there. So stay tuned. We are going to take a break for these messages. And when we return, We'll continue our discussion with Peggy. Don't go far.
Local radio, local television. What would you do without it? Round-the-clock entertainment, news, weather, sports, all your programming needs. The place to turn when there's an emergency, to catch the big game, to check the weather. Local radio, local television, reaching more people with our broadcasts and websites than all other media combined. Local radio, local television, we are here for you 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. A message from the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters and this local station.
Fox News Radio, I'm Karen McHugh. The Pentagon says they'll compensate the families of those killed during the mistaken U.S. bombing of a hospital in Afghanistan.
22 medical workers, patients, and others were killed. Now the Defense Department promises to compensate the families of the victims for what it calls a tragic incident.
Fox News Radio's Steve Taylor, the facility run by Doctors Without Borders, was hit last week. The GOP's already staged two. Tomorrow, the Democrats step into the spotlight in Vegas for their first presidential debate. Hillary Clinton can expect some tough questions.
Democratic frontrunner Hillary Clinton will likely face questions from her challengers on her recent flip-flop concerning the Trans-Pacific Partnership. She may also be asked to explain why she set up a private email server while serving as Secretary of State.
Fox News Radio's John Decker in Vegas. Clinton's lead in the polls could shrink should Vice President Joe Biden enter the race. Fox News. We report. You decide.
Tri-state area, streaming freedom, shining light from Philly to the nations. 1180 shining forth, we are the Freedom Station, WFYN.
From the Pennsylvania Family Council, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. The case against taxpayer funding of Planned Parenthood continues to grow. Of course, the series of videos exposing that organization's complicity in the harvesting and sale of body parts should be enough to stop the flow of tax dollars and, in my view, bring criminal prosecution as well. But in addition, the number of people Pennsylvania Planned Parenthood sees each year has been going down, while the number of abortions they perform is quickly growing. Thus, this is further evidence that Planned Parenthood is first and foremost all about abortion. They should not get 1 cent of taxpayer dollars. Find out more about what you can do about this issue at our website at pafamily.org. And while I've got you for another moment, consider joining us for our Friends of the Family Banquet on Friday, October 30th in Hershey. You can get details at pafamily.org or always call us toll-free at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, and we want to continue our discussion with Peggy Nienaber. And Peggy, before I go to Sam Rohr with a question for you, among the many stations that we are on across the country, we are also on six or seven stations in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And you folks have a banquet coming up in just about a week. Do you want to talk about that for a moment or two? Some of our people might be interested.
I was going to bring that up. I do. In Lancaster, PA, I'm sure everyone's familiar with the Good and Plenty restaurant. And that's where we always have a once-a-year annual banquet to discuss things in more depth than what we're discussing here. And if you would like to attend that next Monday night at 6:30 p.m., please call our office at 202-546-8329. And you can get a reservation with Patty Bills at our office.
And what's that number again, Peggy?
It's 202-546-8329.
And if you're interested, ladies and gentlemen, in learning more about Faith in Action in the nation's capital, that would be a good place to go to do so. Sam, I'll defer to you, my friend.
All right. Thank you, Gary. Peggy, it's great to have you with us. I'd like to go to something here and put a face on this, if you could. You're there in a place. You're seeing members of Congress and in a way that most people on the outside never see them.
Mm-hmm.
You talk about coming together in prayer. Those are not public events. Last week, in the last couple of weeks, there's been an effort, obviously, with the whole aspect of Planned Parenthood and bringing to light all the atrocities that they've been involved in. And there's been a big debate about defunding and and limiting that. I'd just like to know from you, that kind of a thing, which was very public, it was a big deal. What kind of prayer did you hear about that? What kind of angst and tension did you find at all with members there relative to that very public vote, that very immoral action that's taking place, and how they sense their relationship to that relative to their duty to God, duty to the people, and so forth? Just talk a little bit about that.
I do think that it caused a lot of disconnect. The atmosphere was very concerned. As you can see, if you watched any of the hearings, which I was present at all of these investigative hearings, the tension is very high. You never see Representative Jordan so high with anger and people coming just, you know, speaking in different tones that they normally are. There was prayer. In fact, before each one of those hearings took place outside of the House building, meaning one of the congressional buildings where they were held at the Rayburn Building, there was a prayer vigil outside. We also held prayer inside each of the hearing rooms right before. That included staffers behind the scenes in one of the small congressional rooms. There were members as well as staffers, and a lot of our team, what I call our allied ministry teams, praying with them that this would move forward as God's will has it. It is a lot that I can't, we don't do legislation, so I don't want to go down the legislative path. However, I see more legislation coming up. As you can see, a lot of it was voted on and discussed on the floor last week, causing that to come to the forefront. There is a lot of prayer. So whether that's what corrects it, we're hoping the prayer does get into the minds and the hearts of your elected officials. So I'm hoping that takes it that route. But there's a lot more that's not going to end just like next week or the following. That's a couple of years in the process. So the prayers need to continue. There's a lot of teams on Capitol Hill working. There's going to be phone calls of prayer. There's going to be conference calls of prayer, not only do that route, but also in person with a lot of the members, because that is a horrifying video and everything that's been happening. So we're hoping to change that in the future.
You know, Peggy, this is Dave. And again, I appreciate so much you being on the program as one that's been up on the Hill a lot. Dr. Gary has been up there a good deal. And of course, the two of us have worked hand in hand with Faith in Action. We so appreciate what you guys do, and specifically, Peggy, what you do on the Hill. I just don't know how you get it all done. But for those who have never been up there and not seen the things that you're describing, it's awfully easy for them to get discouraged. And one of the things that I have found is, as I begin to bring pastors to D.C., as I begin to share with churches where I speak on a very regular basis what's going on up on the Hill, it just lifts their spirits, and they begin to realize that God is not through with the city of Washington, D.C. Now, I want to specifically ask you this. In 2014, according to numbers of reports that we have heard, and according to some of my contacts on the Hill, there were more professing believers elected to Congress in 2014 than perhaps any time in our lives. Could you speak to that issue and just say, do you sense that there is a difference on the Hill as these believers begin to come up there and begin, I trust and hopefully, to live their faith on Capitol Hill?
Oh, absolutely. There's currently at this time 57 Protestants. There's 57 Protestants in your House side of Congress. There's 31% of Catholics. So you have people that are in that direction. There's six of our Supreme Court justices that are Catholic. Everybody goes, well, the Supreme Court's not ruling the way we want them to do. We have to remember that the Supreme Court, you have to continuously, whether it's the Supreme Court or members of Congress, you have to keep praying for them and their hearts, because we all are a Christian until we get on Capitol Hill, and it's a totally, totally different city. The pressures behind the scenes, things that are happening, you've got to vote this way. Just because somebody's voted for a bill doesn't mean they were voting for the one item that may be in that bill. There may have been another item that was really important to their constituents that they voted on that bill for and probably thought that they could come back around and adjust the other half of that bill later on. There's so much involved in it that they don't know. But what I see on the Hill now, we do see that we're reaching more and more. And those that are not even a Christian or Catholic or whatever religion, we're finding that those are the ones that we're needing to touch their hearts. And, yes, we do meet with them. And, yes, we do go in and pray with them. Some of them get nervous. But that's what we're there for, is to just keep being that presence on Capitol Hill. And it does make a difference, and I do see more of it now than what we have in the past. You wouldn't see so much coming up with the past Planned Parenthood or any of those religious issues. You wouldn't see so much stands on that, things at the Supreme Court in the last year without that.
Let me ask you, Peggy, you know, there's so much going on Capitol Hill, and of course right now we know that there seems to be, at least from those of us who are outsiders, some chaotic things going on with the fact that John Boehner has stepped down, and we're trying to follow that here on Stand in the Gap radio program. My question to you is, do you have any inside information on who may be willing to step up and take that particular position? I know there's talking...
Yeah.
You have inside information.
Ryan is who we were told is the next person up because of the situation that happened last week. So we were told he possibly will be the next one coming up. That's a hard position because not only is it interest groups, but it's inside, I don't want to use the word cliques, but they're kind of cliques, pressure from all around. So when you're in that position, and you talk about somebody needing prayer, that's probably somebody, and that speaker is the House is somebody that needs a lot of prayer. And we have a lot of people. Speaker Boehner is the one who actually sponsors the current church that is held Wednesday evenings on Capitol Hill. So our prayer is not only for the next Speaker of the House, but that we can continue those church services. And it's to pray for that speaker. That's just a tough position. And Ryan is who we were told that is a possible next candidate moving up the ladder to that. The votes were supposed to be last Thursday, but that kind of changed when the current person that we were voting for stepped down. So not us, but
yeah. And of course, you know, I've had the opportunity of participating in that Wednesday evening prayer service, church service, and it really is a church service. There's no doubt about that. There is church in the Capitol. We're down to about 45 seconds, Peggy, but tell me about the House Freedom Caucus. That seems to be an issue right now in this current search for a new speaker. How's that going to play out?
Well, see, it's like you've got Tea Party and you've got the Freedom Caucus, and you have a lot, that's what I was talking about with the different interest groups and groups and whatever. Those are what makes the pressure, and they can move things in and out very quickly, as you can see what happened last week. And I think that they have a little bit of play and a little bit of power at this time with the situation. So,
ladies and gentlemen, you've been listening to Peggy Niedaber, who, of course, is with Faith in Action in the nation's capital, I was going to say on Capitol Hill. If you'd like to learn more about them and go to their banquet next week in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, you can call 202-546-8329. That's 202-546-8329, and talk to Patty there, who happens to be Peggy's twin sister. So she'll be delighted to hear from you. Peggy, it's been a delight to have you with us. Keep up the good work down there on Capitol Hill.
Thank you.
Ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, we will continue our discussion on issues taking place in the nation. Don't go away. We'll be back right after these messages.
Blessed is a man who finds wisdom, the man who gains understanding, for she is more profitable than silver and yields better returns than gold. If any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask of God, who gives generously to all. This is Roy Russell, president of the Life Financial Group, online at thelifegroup.org. For nearly 40 years, we have worked with believers and especially widows across the nation. We all need wisdom as it relates to our finances, taxes, and estate planning, but no one more than the widow who must manage on her own. We are financial advisors committed to a biblical worldview. We assist with your income taxes and give advice to help keep your taxes low. We also carefully invest your money to provide a comfortable retirement income, and we work closely with Christian attorneys to draft a believer's will and powers of attorney. Please call me with your questions or to discuss your needs and desires at 800-688-5800. That's 1-800-688-5800, or online at thelifegroup.org. That's thelifegroup.org.
Securities and advisory services offered through Genios Wealth Management, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Deer might be fun to look at, but they can rub the bark off your trees overnight, creating thousands of dollars in damage. Ordinary tree wraps or stormwater pipe can't stand up to deer when they're rutting or in heat. Hi, I'm Jim Saunders, the creator of Tree Armor, the world's first and only spring-loaded tree guard. Tree Armor stands up to any buck, protecting young trees up to 4 inches thick from deer rubbing, as well as power tools. It's infused with a natural cayenne pepper scent that repels deer before they can do damage to your trees. It's brown and almost invisible from a short distance, and Tree Armor is the only tree guard made in America, using only EPA-approved vinyl, free of lead and heavy metals found in other imported products. Tree Armor is not available in stores, but you can buy it from the manufacturer at a huge discount. Go to our website, mytreearmor.com, and buy as many as you need from about $3 each. We even pay the postage. That's mytreearmor.com to protect your trees.
There's an average of 11 student-to-student assaults per day in Philadelphia School District. That's 19,752 over the last 5 years. There's an average of 5 student-to-teacher assaults per day. That's over 4,000 over 5 years. That's a total of 23,752 assaults over 5 years in the Philadelphia School District.
Should you be considering a different public school option? Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School is an online public school for students in kindergarten through 12th grade. Your child deserves to be safe. Visit www.palx.org or call us at 1-877-725-2785 to apply today. That's PALCS.org or call us at 1-877-725-2785.
Scripture gives us perhaps the greatest example of fire-tested faith in the lives of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Their faith was real. The lesson for us today is real. Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network. When confronted with a national law commanding them to fall down and worship an idol or be killed, these government officials decided to do what every government official and citizen should do. They respectfully disobeyed the evil law and obeyed God's higher law. To the king they said, "O king, we cannot obey your command. We serve God, the king above all kings. While we don't know if he'll save us from your hand, we know he can, and we're willing to die before we bow." Their decision was predetermined and unchanging. Their faith in God was unmovable. Their commitment to obedience was greater than their fear of death. I'm Sam Rohr of the American Pastors Network asking you, is your faith only good when times are good, or will it take you through the fire?
Join the Pennsylvania Pastors Network at papastors.net. You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and walk through the resource library to find over 500 separate resources with more added every week. Our resource library is a collection of biblical worldview resources categorized according to selected topics like abortion, marriage, the Constitution, evolution and creation, and much more. The resource library is free to use and designed for pastors or anyone who wants to find the very best materials available to more effectively relate biblical truth on a full range of issues facing the culture. Again, visit the website today, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net, and find out how you can help reverse cultural decline, equipped with the best resources available. And now, let's rejoin the American Pastors Network and stand in the gap today.
Well, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. And Sam and Dave, it's interesting to be observing what's going on down in Washington, D.C., as, of course, they are involved with trying to select a new Speaker of the House. And, you know, we've heard names such as, Jason Chaffetz and, Paul Ryan and others. But the interesting thing of it is there are numerous other individuals who have expressed interest in that position, such as Jim Jordan, Daniel Webster, Daryl Issa, Kevin Brady, Dave Bratt, Pete Roskam, Marsha Blackburn, Mike Conaway, Bill Flores, Lynn Westmoreland, Tom Cole, Rob Bishop, and the list goes on and on and on. Some of those names, some of our people have never heard about. What do you think, Sam? And again, you know a lot of the in workings of what goes on behind closed doors in government. Do you think that there is quite a bit of vying going on down there right now and campaigning, I should say, going on right now by those individuals? Or are they sitting back and just waiting to see what Paul Ryan is going to do?
Well, Gary, these kinds of times always create opportunities for a certain number of individuals who like to take the opportunity to just advance themselves publicly with others. Many of them don't have any clear, I mean, they don't even expect remotely to become Speaker, but they want to get their name out there. It's kind of like some of the guys who are running, like, you know, Lindsey Graham putting his name in to run for president. All right, why is he doing that? There's no chance on the shining sun that he's going to be president. It's just because they think it's going to advance their overall standing. There are many in that boat just like that. Okay, that's number one. Number two, this is a time of coalition building. Anybody who steps forward now is going to have that the support of a defined group large enough that they're going to be able to wield a block of votes. That's just the nature of things. So the Freedom Caucus, as an example, has a block of votes, about 40-some votes or so, I understand. Jim Jordan is the one who leads that. Now, Jim Jordan said this morning that they, as a caucus, have their full weight behind Daniel Webster from Florida. Unless Paul Ryan decides to go forward, they think that he may be that they might move from Dan Webster as a group to Paul Ryan. So what all of that's trying to do is to generate a coalition towards somebody who can step forward. I think that you're going to see more in this case, Gary, that there's probably an effort by like a group or so, or groups of members, getting behind a certain individual, probably more than an individual stepping up and saying, hey, here I am, I'm the guy you're waiting for, follow me. They're probably not going to do that. They've been discussing with somebody who they think has the potential to lead and who they can develop a block of support behind and then push them forward. That's really what's happening. Who's going to emerge? I don't know. I mean, why Paul Ryan as an example? Well, because he's got a name. He was the Appropriations Committee chairman. He was out there on a national run basis and so forth. But again, you know, is Paul Ryan capable of really doing what a speaker needs to do? I don't know for sure. But they're looking at political viability. They're looking at some levels of experience. And they're looking at some level of independence from the establishment that the conservative group at least will not be putting back into office just a change of name, but keeping the same process in place.
Well, it's just interesting to see how that's going to take place down there. And folks, I would encourage you all to pray for that, because we do need a strong leader there. Somebody who is biblically based and someone who's also constitutionally grounded so as to lead the House of Representatives in a proper way. I want to shift gears just a little bit. We know that tomorrow night is going to be the first Democratic debate, and that'll be very, very interesting to watch. They already, David, have come out and said that they're going to be nice to each other. They're not going to pick on each other. And it's interesting to see how this is going to play out. You know, every Monday, I think it is, Fox News comes out with what they call their power index. And that, of course, is basically a list of presidential candidates who they see not necessarily are at a certain levels in the polls, but how much influence they may have in this candidacy and in this whole process. On the Democratic side, they list Hillary Clinton as number one, Joe Biden number two, Bernie Sanders number three, Martin O'Malley number four, number five is Jim Webb, number six is Elizabeth Warren, number seven is Lincoln Chafee. Those are the top seven players on the power index for the Democratic side. Dave, the question that I have for you is that Joe Biden has not yet said that he is going to run. And yet, as I understand it, he's invited to the debate tomorrow night. I don't quite understand that. Is that good, bad, indifferent? What do you think's behind that? Any thoughts on that?
Well, Gary, you know, if I could word it this way, I think on the Republican side with Paul Ryan and the growing pressure, the mounting pressure for him to run for speakership of the House, as well as on the Democratic side with this presidential contest, this growing grassroots, it appears to be, effort to get Joe Biden to throw his hat into the ring and run for president. I think that could bode well for both of the men. What I mean by that is this. Neither one of them appear to be, and I'm using the word appear, neither one appear to be going out there and aggressively, as is in Paul Ryan's case, announcing their intention to run for the speakership. It's almost like he's being begged. He's being pushed by people who say, you're the guy to do it. You're the guy to do it. You've got to do it. You've got to sweep in and be the savior of the Republican Party in the House. There is something to that. If he were to say, okay, I'll do it, that could be received as he is the consensus guy. Everybody has pushed him to do it. And so that would give him more leverage should he decide to run for speaker and ultimately become speaker. I think the same thing may be true with Joe Biden. This grassroots, seemingly, I don't think it's really grassroots, but this push to get him to enter the race. Gary, I think, to be honest with you, the longer he waits right now, on the short term, the better off it's going to help him if he ever does choose to throw his hat in the ring. However, he is going to have to make a decision soon or it will not be a benefit. He'll be so far behind the eight ball, he's going to have a hard time catching up. But for right now, I think he may be playing his cards very, very wisely.
But, Sam, you know, this idea that he's even invited, that does not I'm not a Joe Biden man and I'm not a Hillary man, but that doesn't even sound fair or just to these other candidates. If he's not yet announced, why should he be there tomorrow night?
There is no reason why he should be there tomorrow night. And I think it just shows, frankly, the disarray on that side of the equation. And I think at the end of the day, there's a building support level against Hillary. I think many of them believe that she's ultimately not going to escape the legal tongs that are after her. And I think you're going to see Biden ultimately emerge.
So do you think the White House is behind this and pushing the media to come up with this?
I don't think that they're holding it back. Let's put it that way. So, yes, the answer, I think yes.
Interesting to watch, ladies and gentlemen. And, you know, you want to watch the debate tomorrow night. And in the meantime, in just about 23 hours, Stand in the Gap Today. We'll be back on the air again for a Tuesday edition. You'll want to listen to the program then to see what's taking place. Until then, keep looking up because we know the best is yet to come. Have a good and a godly day.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. We seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.americanpastorsnetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
A popular government without popular information or the means of acquiring it is but a prologue to a farce or a tragedy, or perhaps both. Knowledge will forever govern ignorance, and a people who mean to be their own governors must arm themselves with the power which knowledge gives. A quote from James Madison.